that the highest king would welcome me. I was lost, but he brought me and know his love for me. Oh, his love for me. Who the Son.
Everybody, let's stand up. presence of my enemies. I raise a hallelujah louder than the unbelief. I raise a hallelujah. My weapon is a melody. I raise a hallelujah. Heaven comes to fight for me. I'm gonna sing in the middle of the storm. Louder and louder, you're gonna hear my praises roar. Up from the ashes, hope will arise. Darkness flee. I raise a hallelujah in the middle of the mystery. I raise a hallelujah. Fear, you lost your hold on me. I'm gonna in the middle of the storm, louder and louder, you're gonna hear my praises roar. Up from the ashes, hope will arise. Death is defeated.
How great is our God. Age to age he stands, and time is in his hand. Beginning and the end, beginning and the end. The Godhead three in one, Father, Spirit, Son, the Lion and the Lamb, Lion and the Lamb. How great is our God. Sing with me, how great is our God.
Meet Billy. In 5 years, Billy will have spent 605 days sleeping and 2.5 full days brushing his teeth, hopefully. He will have sat in traffic for 9 full days. Billy hates traffic. And in 5 years, he will have spent 433 days working. Social media will have taken up 152 consecutive days of his life. He will have walked 3,650 miles and spoken 29.2 million words, hopefully good ones. In 5 years, Billy will have spent 76 days eating and drinking. Billy loves dessert. 2.5 years out of the 5 will be spent consuming media, with 228 days spent watching TV. Billy is messy. He will have spent 152 days cleaning. and in 5 years, he will have spent roughly $40,000 on food, 40 days shopping, and 50 days socializing with the homies. Welcome to You in 5 years.
Right? Can you imagine what it's going to be in 5 years? Did you imagine this in 5 years? Wake up, everybody. It's New Year. Okay, here we go. Before we begin, usually we do our prayer time here. But before we begin that today, I want to go ahead and we have a presentation that we're going to give. And this is from Karen over there and her husband Mike. And Karen, Kate, you can come on up and you can stand over here. Says, good morning, church family. Today, I would like to give to Haven Community Church Sunday School a check for $200 to buy supplies for their classrooms. Let me explain why I'm doing this. On February 13th, 1985, a precious angel came into my life. Her name was Amanda Beth, and Amanda loved her family, going to preschool. Her love for animals was out of this world, but her greatest love was going to Sunday school. She was always singing, Jesus Loves Me, or This Little Light of Mine. And on January 1st, 1990, Amanda Beth and my grandmother went to be with the Lord. I feel after being here and a part of Haven Community Church that God wants me to open up something that I closed a couple years ago and to start it over again with a group of people that makes me feel loved and happy again. Please accept this check in memory of Amanda Beth and know that she is watching over each of you, showing you her love of Jesus and still singing her favorite song. Thank you, Karen Verde. Thank you, Karen, for this gift that we will go ahead and give to Sunday School. Thanks, Kate. Thank you. Wow. Awesome. All right, we're going to... Thank you so much. I mean, how do you follow that up? I should have saved that and then just dismissed, right? But anyway, we're going to go to our prayer time today. I'm going to share some prayer requests, and we're also going to lift up... isn't it good to see, like, us filling up a little bit more, pressing that 50%, right? Isn't that good stuff? Good to see our kids back and all that stuff too, okay? Prayers, Ron and Joanna Frederick have lifted up prayers for Lou, for healing, for Ginny in isolation, for Don and Shirley Green's family as she passed away this week, and our nation to find peace for Donnie and Jackie also, and Brian in a difficult time. June has asked for prayer for her sister Beverly, who is in the hospital, who had a stroke and heart trouble, and the cause is yet to be determined. Holly Kipp is still asking for prayers for co-workers' health and for full-time employment. We don't like a little bit of that full-time unemployment, all right? And just many unspoken prayers. We also, Lisa Osborne asked for prayers for her best friend Robin Jackson and 8 members of her family who were contracted COVID. For Bennett, I believe this week, right? He's going to have the rest of the stuff done with the arm, all right? So pray for Benny. Also, Carol Henson, her son-in-law's brother, Greg Harvey, had a brain tumor as a result of an MRI and has been transferred to UPenn, and their father died of a cancerous brain tumor when they were very young. So obviously, they're we want to pray for them. There it is right there. He's getting the pins removed, Benny. Debbie Chadwick also requested prayers for Janet Hammer. Aunt Sis has a kidney stone and goes Monday to the urologist. And then also today, I ask for you to celebrate and lift up in prayers my dad as he celebrates his 80th birthday today. So Dad is celebrating his 80th birthday, and as you know, it's a mixed blessing. We're glad to have him for these 80 years and touching our lives in many special ways, but also it's mixed as this is his first one since he was just a kid without Mom around with everything. So be with him during this time, all right? We're going to pray our week 42 of Unite 714 to start the service today, and I'm going to read the scripture lesson from Psalm 23, and it says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his namesake. So, Lord, we are so thankful that you are our shepherd as we enter 2021. We feel the need to experience your shepherding hand. Only you can lead us through the complex challenges and perils that the new years will bring. And yet, even greater than our problems we are already facing are the promises that we are claiming for 2021. So today we stand in the ancient promises of Psalm 23, declaring, I shall not want, I shall not be in need. We are grateful for natural breakthroughs in medicine and for supernatural mitigation of COVID-19. Without your direct intervention, the loss of life around the world would have been even far greater. So Heavenly Father, in the name of your Son, Jesus, we boldly come before your throne with one voice crying out, Lord, deliver us from COVID-19 and uproot this virus from the world. Strengthen and protect and refresh scientists, medical professionals, and the first responders as they battle this pandemic. For the mental and emotional toil that this pandemic has been widespread, Lord, help us to find true rest in the green pastures of your Spirit and your Word. You have the power to restore us from the fear of despairing, ravaging our souls. We realize this restoration does not come only through our individual time in your presence and your word, but also together as people. Those of us who have the opportunity to worship in person during this time are very thankful. But there are those who can at least experience worship somewhere, whether online or some other means, we are grateful too. And so we all desperately long for the day when we can freely join together without any kind of distancing between us, and we can see brothers and sisters literally face to face. So, Lord, we come before you with one voice alongside millions of other believers. We ask you to restore our souls and to make us whole. Lead us, Lord, in the paths of bold witness and evangelism, empowered by your Spirit, and restore the broken souls of our nation and communities through a fresh outpouring of your Spirit. Please, God, sweep millions of precious ones into your kingdom. As we feed in the green pastures of your word, give us fresh strength that we need to embrace your will fully. We pray in the mighty name of Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord. Everybody says, amen. All right. A couple other things before we begin our new series and our new year and our new this and our new that, right? Sunday school reopening. Again, we had Sunday school open today. We're excited about that. We're also, when's the next week, Kate? A couple weeks? 17th, okay, the 17th, and we're talking more about that. We love to have our kids here, and we're hoping and looking that life maybe get back to some normal at the beginning of this. Again, I want to lift up our Stephen ministers for those who are dealing with grief and all kinds of other things. I'm going to lift those up, and for our Paris Foundation, as on the 17th, also on the 17th, 70 dinner bags for the Paris Foundation, and they can be dropped off over at the Paris Foundation between 3:30 and 4, all right? Does that sound good? Everybody good with those announcements as we pick up? I guess, Happy New Year. Right? Does it seem any better? I saw somebody put on January 1st, I haven't bought anything from Amazon all year. So I'm sure that's changed. Okay, everyone, we are starting a brand new series today. We really are. It's going to be called Who Are You in 5 Years. Now, we do have you can go back there real quick. Sorry, Melinda. If you want a bulletin, you can go ahead and QR code it there. Pick up your smartphones. Go ahead, aim it up there, hit it, and then you'll go ahead and go there. But I got to tell you, Who Are You in 5? We're going to talk about 5 years, okay? We're going to talk about 5 years in this situation. And I'm going to do this for about 4 weeks. About 4 weeks, we're going to spend some time in looking at these next 5 years. So what I want you to do is I want you to imagine yourself. Everybody, I need your imagination. Everybody, imagination. Here we go. I want you to imagine that if you could picture your age that you are right now in front of you as a giant number, like, you know, the big balloons that people have, you know what I'm talking about? The giant balloons that are there, I'd like you to picture that in front of you, and now I want you to add 5 to that, all right? Everybody got that number? Okay, so picture that, and so for me, this year, in April, I will be 50, okay? I'm hitting the 50 mark, and 5 years ago, I was? Gosh, you guys are smart. So I was 45, and I decided to look back 5 years from 2021 was 2016. Right? I'm doing good with this math stuff so far. All right? And I just went back. I looked through some pictures of 2016, and one of the things was my kids were a lot younger. And as I looked, there were several things that ended up happening. Amigail started driving. Actually, I have a picture of her where she failed her test a couple times, all right? It's okay. A lot of people do it. Some of you might remember for church during that, I know Jake does, for that Holy Week, that Easter, that we had a giant crown of thorns hanging above us. Remember that? Remember that, Jake? Yes, he does. We had a giant crown of thorns over the stage area, which was back there at the time. Let's see what else. My son Jacob was a track star at Rising Sun in his senior year, and he graduated. For church here was the Egyptian VBS. I know Melissa remembers that, right, Melissa? I know if Tom Brickner were here, he remembers that. He had a skull cap on teaching stories. We spent 2 weeks in Mexico. It was wonderful, and met some good friends from Canada. We got the chance to go see Jimmy Buffett in concert. And then in another mix was, it was almost 5 years ago where we said goodbye to our beloved dog, Maggie, 5 years ago. And you're like, wow, 5 years now, she's multiplied and we have four of them in our house now. So I don't know what happened. I'm hoping this year we're not adding another one in that time again. And so I thought it was really interesting that, you know, 50 is going to hold, what is 50 going to hold for me? What is that number that you see going to hold for me? But what else is going to happen there? So I think many of us are kind of like, new year, okay, whatever. But I know that God's in that new year, but I got to also tell you that right now I am doing a lot of struggling in my life, okay, in lots of different areas. And so when I put together this, one of the reasons why I have to look 5 years is because looking a couple weeks is really hard for me right now, right? So I just need you to know that in the midst of everything. And so I'm just going to try to look to 5 years to recognize it's what I do in these weeks and months and this year that's going to allow me to figure out where I'm going to be in 5 years, all right? And I want to try to help you guys as well. Now, there is a problem when we come to the new year. And the problem is that many of us have planned for change and transformation. And we often think too small. Most of us underestimate what we can do in the long term. And we overestimate what we can do in the short term. Let me say that again. Most of us underestimate what we can do in the long term. If I say 5 years, what can you do? And you start to go, not much. If we say, what could you do now? We feel like we can do everything right now, and we're frustrated that we can't get it done very quickly. That's our main problem. We look at the short term rather than the long term. And many of us have a short span of attention. Right? Some of you are like, did he say attention? What did he say? You missed the short part of that because you're not paying attention. But we've lost in our society a stick-with-it-ness that is evaporating from our generations, particularly in major numbers for millennials and even younger. People jump ship anytime when they just aren't feeling something. They just go and jump ship. We don't stay with things long enough for anything to be significant. It's true in ministry. Do you realize that the average pastor in America spends, how many years do you think the average pastor spends at a church? Huh? Seven. Anybody else? Five? One? Right there, I saw a couple people. Three. The average pastor in the United States stays at a church for 3 years. 3 years. Okay, that's what we see. Youth pastors are even worse. They stay for 2 years. So you have a rotating door of pastors and other people. Don't get me started on the numbers of pastors that leave ministry after just that three, four. They may go three, and they may go again another three, and they may say, that's it, and leave. Probably some of the same different situations in many different relationships in our life, that we overestimate what we can do in the short term, but we forget what we can do in the long term. We all want the quick relationship. We want the one that connects, that just makes us go, yeah. We want the friends and the love relationships that make us go, yes, and rather than the ones that can build and grow. And we often throw away the ones that are there for years in order to just deal with what comes lately. And so the heart behind who are you in five is we're going to look at difference between, okay, thank God 2020 is behind me, and now what I'm going to do in 2021, but what about all the way up that we go further to 2025 or on to 2026? What is my life going to look like at that point? The question is, if I give it all, after I've given everything, after I trust God completely, what will that look like 60 months from now? This, I'm going to use the Message translation for our scriptures, and in your bulletin or the one you shot QR code up there, I've got the scripture from Romans chapter 13. Let's take a look at it here. It says, but make sure you don't get absorbed and exhausted in taking care of your day-to-day obligations. Anybody there? Anybody there? I'm going to start a boat that we can all get in, and I'm already in it, all right? Exhausted with those things. It says, the night, where is it? Right here. Let me see. These things. Here we go. And he says that you lose track of the time and doze off oblivious to God. The night is about over and dawn is about to break. Be up and awake to what God is doing. God is putting the finishing touches on the salvation work he began when we first believed. He can't afford to waste a minute. We must not squander these precious daylight hours in frivolity and indulgence, sleeping around in dissipation, in bickering and grabbing everything in sight. Get out of bed and get dressed. Don't loiter and linger, waiting until the very last minute. Dress yourselves in Christ and be up and about. Does that describe your life for many? Loitering, laying around, absorbed and exhausted, dozing off to what's really going on in the world. So what I decided to do in my little warped nature is to make a list. I made two lists today, and I'm going to start with one list. I was thinking about you in 5 years. What could be done in 5 years, positive and negative? You ready? Okay, first thing. In 5 years, you know, because 5 years is a lot of time to accomplish things if we really do that. So let's start with a positive list. The first one is you could basically become fluent in a new language. See? Nobody knows that. That means yes in Spanish, all right? So you could do that. You got Rosetta Stone. You got Duolingo. There's so many different things. You could sit and watch YouTube all day, and you could speak a foreign language. I've always wanted to speak Hebrew. Guess what? I've never done it. Okay? The one Hebrew word I picked to speak when I went to Israel was naknek. It means sausage. That is not a good term in a kosher land to say sausage, okay? Just to let you know. So you could do that. In 5 years, you could do that. You could get a degree. You could say, I'm going back to school. Through online classes, which is like every class right now, you could go ahead and get that opportunity. You could have a whole new skill. A marketable skill, something that you say, this is my skill and I want to do this. And someone once told me that in work, you think about what you love to do and you find out how to get people to pay you for it, right? This is a great story. So you could actually do that in your life because God gave you some passion and gave you some things. If you're not in a place where you'd like, you may say, I'm not in the industry that I want to be. You could be in a different place. You just got to go after it. Or you could just binge watch Netflix for the next 5 years. That's in my negative list. I jumped ahead of myself, so just hang in there. You can master a sport. You could take up running. You could run a marathon. You could maybe do an Ironman. Or maybe you want to take up fencing. Anybody want to take up fencing? I always thought that was kind of cool. On guard, and you could maybe join like a bunch of swords people and just whatever, you know, goes to that. Or maybe you want to take up chess. You can take up chess and be an expert chess player. You could jump out of airplanes. Anybody in here ever jumped out of an airplane? Why would you jump out of something with a perfectly good seat? I mean, I don't know, but I know. But there's people that do it. Some people say, that's on their, anybody have it on your bucket list? Okay, there's some people, so you want to go ahead and do that? All right. 5 years, you could own a house. You could own a house. If you're a kid and you want to buy something, you say, how do I do that? Do you realize over 5 years, if you save $1 a day, in 5 years, you'd have $1,825. If you saved $1 a day, that's almost, imagine a 10-year-old kid with $2,000. You could read 60 books. What? Yeah, I know. I'm not a big reader. You read a book a month. An average length of a book is about 200 pages. That means 6 pages a day. So how long does it take? 6 pages? Maybe about 5 minutes. 5 minutes, 6 pages, you could go ahead. You could crush out some biographies. Winston Churchill, the Wright brothers, Amelia Earhart, Abraham, you could read about Abraham Lincoln. You could pick people, read about their lives, and study. You could even be one of those people, like me. How many of you like poetry? Anybody like poetry? Okay. Some people love poetry. Me, somebody reads poetry, I go, what in the heck were they talking about? Anybody with me in there? Anybody? I'm like, they read it and they go, wow. And people go, wow. And I go, what? Wow, wow, what? You know, that's where I am. So maybe I need to pick up some poetry so I can get the wow factor that other people have. Maybe you want to expand your music or something else. Maybe you want to radically transform your soul for Jesus Christ more than ever before. Maybe you want to spend time just the next 5 years seeking his face. Maybe the problem is not the answer. Maybe you just need, it's not unanswered prayers, it's the prayers you haven't asked. Maybe you want to read the Bible. You know, have you ever read the entire Bible? If you just read 2 chapters a day, a mix of Old Testament and New Testament, by the end of 5 years, you will have read through the Bible 3 different times. All right? So there's a lot of positives that you could do in 5 years. And there's many, many more. So hopefully you're thinking that. Negative list. Ready? You could be going through the worst destructive pattern in life that you ever have. You could be partially through a prison sentence 5 years from now by something that you do this year, whether a 5-year, a 20-year, a 10-year, a 30-year sentence. 5 years long enough to get majorly addicted to drugs, to end your life even into a life-threatening way. 5 years is long enough to have worked 6 or 7 or 15 different jobs. If you partially applied yourself, it's long enough to rack up credit that can bury you for the rest of your life. It's long enough to go ahead and pack on 30 pounds. That's not hard. Do you realize that in 5 years, you can smoke a total of 36,500 cigarettes by just one pack per day? Someone once said, will smoking keep me out of heaven? And the person said, no, but it'll get you there a little bit faster. So just one of those jokes, all right? So here's the deal. 5 years is long enough for good, and it's good enough to harm you. Can we all agree that 5 years is long enough to figure something out? Okay. So look back to your last 5 years. What have you figured out? I don't know about you, but I got more questions in my life from 5 years ago. And so here's the deal. The disappointing news is that there's a lot of things that we make good and bad decisions. Like, for instance, before COVID and everything, the average American Jesus follower attended church 1 or 2 times a month. That is before COVID. Now, statistics are showing that 32% of Christians have stopped attending church, whether it be online, whether it be in person, at all. They were actively going before, and they are not attending at all. Do you know that 14% has actually switched churches in this? I don't know where. I guess because they are doing this. 18% are viewing multiple churches throughout the time. And 35% are still there. Some never get a chance to connect to what God wants to do. You know, it takes about 30 days to make a habit because our brain has this plasticity to it, and we want to have that. So the entire message is today about the way you let things in become the way things are set in your life. We are all a product of the things that we have let into us, and we are a result of what we've kept there as well. The good, the bad, and the ugly in many of us. And that's me in all different situations. God has his ways, correct? God's ways are mysterious. We hear that. My ways are not your ways. But guess what? We have our ways too, don't we? We have ways we choose to react. We have ways we choose to speak. We have ways we choose to be honest, and we have ways that we choose not to be honest. We have ways in which we choose to insert ourselves, and ways we choose to pull ourselves away. We have ways in which we accept and decline. We have ways in which we stay and which we tend to go. Our passions, if we want to know what our ways are, pick out your checkbook and balance it. Look at your credit card statement. Look at what your joyous thing was for this Christmas season. Look at what we do. We make choices all the time, and these things are not all good and bad. It's just a matter of how we make these choices. Our ways, we adopted, and we have our ways. How do we adapt our ways? We adapt in certain ways because that's how mom taught us to handle it, or how dad taught us to handle it. We learned how dad dealt with conflict. We learned how mom went ahead and dealt with certain things. We learned how our grandmother told us what to do and not to do. And so we end up in a position that we see these things modeled for us in life, on television, or in the news. And we make choices constantly about how our words, our actions, our ways are all there for us. And I got to say, in my life right now, I'm just trying to figure out, who am I going to be in 5 years? Who am I? Who is Jack now? And who is he going to be in 5 years? So I'm going to give you four things that I see in this text today. And they're not the most exciting, but hey, we'll see where we go, okay? Happy New Year. All right. First thing I want to tell you, time is not on your side, regardless of what the Rolling Stones sang. Right? Time is not on your side. Have you seen them? Have you seen Mick Jagger? Time was not on his side, right? Okay, just saying. So, and what I'm saying, it is not on your side. You say, how do you know this, Jack? Well, let's take a look at some of this. In this text, the Apostle Paul brings up this concept, and this concept of time not being on our side. And what does he say? He says he does not want us to lose track of time. He wants us to be aware of time. He says the nights are over and dawn is about to break. He wants us to understand the timing of things. So there's two words for time that I have in your bulletin here today, and they're simply this. The first one is chronos. Everybody got a watch? We are so driven by time as a culture, aren't we? By chronological time. How many have a watch? How many have a phone that has time on it? How many know you can locate a clock in the back here? Now everybody turns and looks. How many are freaked out when you don't know what time it is? Okay, there we go. We are so driven by time in everything that we have. Remember when you used to have the old VCRs and you'd unplug it, the power would go off and the time would go and you'd flip out, right? Now you like the ones that come back on and you're like, yeah, great, I know what time it is. We are so driven by this time. And this is, just means a generic or a general kind of time. So that means like, hey, what time is it? We'll go from Chicago. Does anybody really know what time it is? That kind of thing. So we're controlled by that. However, there's another time that the Apostle Paul is talking about, and that is a strategic or a specific time, meaning kairos. Everybody say kairos. If you want to say it in a kind of Hebrew way, kairos. You got your mask on, you'll just be spitting on yourself. It's okay. All right? So what is this? This is a very specific time. So it's kind of like at the airport. Has anybody ever been running late for a flight? And when they go ahead and they say, we're boarding this group, and then we're boarding babies, and then we're boarding first class, and they're boarding this, and then finally, it's not just generic time. It's like, now's the time. Let go. And I tell you, when the kids were little, I'm a jerk when I'm going through like this stuff. Like when you're going through through security and stuff, I just want to get through it. Let's get through it. And notoriously, one of my kids always had to go to the bathroom when we're standing in that long line in Philly or Baltimore. I think it was Emigail and Alyssa I was looking for and yelling at, wasn't it? When we were in Haiti, where are you guys getting over here? No, come on, we got to get through this. And I'm just really like on edge to get through that because it's a perfect time. It's a specific time. If I miss that plane, I'll say, excuse me, can you have them come back off the runway and get me? Because when that door closes, guess what? You're out of luck. And so Paul wants us to understand this. And he says, the night is about over and dawn is about to break. You've got to understand, this is a specific time. He's referring to the end of life, which is, by the way, here's your happy thought number 10 today. The end of your lives are hurtling at us at a rapid rate. We're a little more dead now than we were when we came in here and saying, how great is our God? Happy New Year. And he wants us to know that it's breakneck speeds that our lives are ticking away. And in Psalm 39:5, David says, indeed, you have made my days a handbreadth, and my age is nothing before you. Certainly, every man at his best is but a vapor, like a fog that appears in the morning and then vanishes in air. Woo! Man, I'm so glad I came to church today. Your life seems so real right now. You're buying things. You're going places. You're doing things. And you got your awesome car. You're double-clicking to buy stuff. And before you know it, it's all going to vanish in thin air. And you'll not be on this earth anymore. I thought you said this guy was good, Martha. No, he's not today, right? I'm just reading what the scripture says. Here, I'm going to give you some more. Don't worry, I'm going to build you back up here in a little bit. But Psalm 90 says, 70 years are given to us. Some of us even lived 80. Congratulations. Happy birthday, Dad. But even the best years are filled with pain and trouble. Soon they disappear and we fly away. Teach us the brevity of life, so that we may grow in wisdom. You see, this is not to discourage us, because I got enough of that right now. What this is to do is to say, look around you today. Where do you want to be in 5 years? Are you glad with where you are now? The people who are in your life that mean the most to you, are you treating them right and loving them the best you can? Because all of us are a vapor. Gone in a second. Some of you are 17. Some of you are 24. Not me. I'm soon to be 50. I'm half a century. Hallelujah. But I'm going to tell you, those of you who are younger, you are going to blink. When I looked at the pictures of my kids just 5 years ago, I was blown away by what had happened. During this quarantine, pandemic, COVID mess, I've seen some of these kids that have slid in, and then you see them and like, super tall. And you're like, what happened to you? You know what I mean? Like that summer into now, and you see them and like, oh my gosh, they've grown so tall. And there's so many of them. What I'm going to say is the decades are going to pass by, and the longer you live, the faster it goes by, and time is not on your side. I love what Aristotle said. We should measure time in heartthrobs, meaning that every time your heart beats, it's a gift, and you're not guaranteed it's going to happen again. 5 years, you may only live three. 5 years, you may be gone in 5 months. 1 Peter 1:24-25, if you weren't happy enough, quotes the prophet Isaiah and says, for all people are like grass, and all their glory is like the flowers of the field. The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of the Lord endures forever. All our beauty, all our buildings, all we build, all our bridges, we say, oh, wow, look, we can get across that chasm. Isn't that awesome? We put our name in lights. Look at this film. Look at that company. Look at this accomplishment. Look at that championship. Look at Caesar. Look at Napoleon. Look at LeBron James. Look at the founders of the United States. Look at this singer. Look at that person. Look at this. Look at that. Look at this. And yet when we really look at it again, it's all just flowers and grass. It withers and it falls away. So time is not on your side. It's just a flower. But God's word helps us tap into something that can last forever and eternal. Number two. Since number one was so enjoyable. Number two, the future you is simply an exaggerated version of the current you. You know, when we think about the future, sometimes we think about it romantically, don't we? Like, I kind of think I'll be built like the Rock. Right? With hair. No, we gotta look at those things romantically. Like, what do I want to be when I grow up? Nobody, is there any of us, let me just ask a question. I just want to take a quick poll. Is there any of us that when we were younger, they said, what do you want to be when you grow up? And this is what you wanted to be? Like, where you are? Anybody? Okay, we got one. All right, congratulations. We're all together here. All right, so, but this is one of the things we have. We romanticize it. You ever remember in the back of your senior book where you had, where am I going to be in 5 and 10 and 20 and 30 years? Nobody ever said, my life's going to be falling apart and my family's going to be addicted. And, you know, I mean, we don't say that. We deal with these things time and time. None of us said, wow, I can't wait. So none of us graduated in 2016 said, I can't wait to just be, you know, social distance from everybody and to lose people I love because of this stuff, right? None of us look to these days. And so when we look at this, if you want to know what you're going to look like in 5 years, 10 years, 20 years, look at yourself in the mirror with an odometer. And what I mean by that is if you're kind today, you'll be kinder then if you continue to build that kindness in each and every day. If you're generous today, guess what you're going to be in 5 years? More generous unless you make a decision and a choice not to be that generous. If you're cruel, guess what you're going to be in 5 years? More cruel. Anybody know anybody that they just get nastier and nastier every way? If you're disciplined today, what are you going to be if you make that commitment in 5 years? More disciplined. Time doesn't change who you are. It reveals more and more of who we are. It isn't going to change you. What is it going to do? What changes you is the choices that we make. The choices that we make are what determine where we're going to be in 5 years. Proverbs 11:27 says right up here, whoever seeks good finds favor, but evil comes to one who searches for it. You ever heard you get what you look for? This is what happens. Seek good in people. Seek good in situations. Seek good in life, living with faithful optimism. And guess what you're going to find? Goodness. But if we seek trouble, if we seek faults in everyone, then we will know that we're, you know, the people that always seek faults in people? The comments, the statements, the emails, the text messages, the little things, the things you search out, the things you snicker at, things you look for, the trouble that you want to find. Those things, if we make that our patterns and our choices to find, then that's what we're going to have. And so that's why it says in Proverbs 26, talks about a rolling stone. Whoever digs a pit will fall into it. If someone rolls a stone, it will roll back on them. When somebody criticizes and is critical, it always comes back to them eventually. Matthew 27 in the Message version said that critical spirit, Jesus said, has a way of boomeranging. It's easy to see a smudge on your neighbor's face and be oblivious to the ugly sneer on your own. Do you have the nerve to say, let me wash your face for you when your own face is distorted with contempt? You become what you watch and you hold into you. We become what we continue to make a choice to live with, and we reap those things that we plant in the ground. So for us, our future is not a mysterious, romantic thing. It is our current self exaggerated by the choices we do. But here's the good news. Everybody ready for some good news in this message? Anybody ready for some good news? Yeah. All right, here we go. The good news is if you don't like it, if you don't like what you're getting, you can change what you're doing. This is hard for me. If you don't like what you're doing, you can change it. You can change it. If you don't like you don't like what you're getting, you can change what you're doing. 5 years ago, thinking back to January 2016, and I looked back and I thought about those things, and I thought about the hopes and the dreams that I had, and now I'm here today, and I've got some, but some are messed up. Some of my own life is messed up. Everything's kind of turned upside down in me right now. And that's just being honest with people. And right now, if you ask who I want to be in 5 years, I'm struggling to find out who that is right now in my own nature. And I'd say, some of you are at a place say, I know exactly where I'm going to be in 5 years. And that's awesome. I'm just not in that place right now. And I'm working on this to try to get myself into a place. If I look back on my younger self, and you may look back too, I look back on my younger self and I say, where's that guy? Or you may say, where's that girl? That person that hoped, that I hoped I'd turn into. That person that had those grandiose dreams. The future's not going to change. I'll just be more exaggerated of who I am. So if I don't like what I'm getting, I've got to change what I'm doing. Got to make some different choices in my life. You need to make some different choices in your life. I need to value some things differently. I need to watch out before letting them come in when I don't know what's really incredibly important. Pastor Greg Laurie said, the evening of life is determined by the morning of it. And that lines up with what we learned here in Romans chapter 13 that says the night is about to end and the dawn is about to break. And in this section here, it says we can't afford to waste a minute and not squander those precious daylight hours. We're living in the morning of life. And we can't make decisions before evening comes. And we can't, and when we're living in the evening life, we can't make decisions before the dawn breaks out. It's never too late to do what is right. It's never too late not to harden your heart, but to yield it, to repent it, to stop living for flower and grass that's going to just fall away. And go ahead and open your hearts and open your lives to go ahead and just accept that there's a God who loves you, who has a plan for your life, but more importantly, there are people that love you and will never let you go. So often in our lives, we push people away that we really need to bring close. Can you think of your life in a time where somebody you pushed away because something and you wish that they would be back in your life closer than ever before? Anybody? Because we make choices and we didn't see the big picture. And so let me give you the last thing. Here's another good one. Ready for another good one? Ongoing consistency is much more important than short-term intensity. I'm going to say that again. Ongoing consistency is much more important than short-term intensity. I like short-term intensity, don't you? I like the thrill real quick. Bam, I like that. I like, for instance, I usually, if my sports team wins, which in the Eagles' case doesn't happen this year, all right, when that's going on, the most intense I am during each game is when? Is it at the beginning? Is it even at the end? If they win. If they win, is that where I'm intense? Where's my biggest intensity? When they score, which is also very infrequently. When they score, I'm like, yes! Woo! Even going back to 2017 when they won the Super Bowl, back in the good old days. I was like, yes, yes, yes. And then the next day I went and bought my shirts and yes, yes. And now it's like, this team stinks. I'd much rather have like going on and on and on and on. What I'm trying to say is, we all can make choices that can continue to go on. Because ongoing, steady, slow, measured consistency allows you to tap into what is the most powerful force in the universe. You ready? It's not He-Man. You want to know what it is? Everybody want to know? Bob, you're going to like this. Compound interest. It's compound interest. Is the most powerful force in the universe. Don't believe me? Albert Einstein, smart dude, right? Albert Einstein said, compound interest is the eighth wonder of the world. He who understands it earns it. He who doesn't pays it. Okay? Whether you're earning 20% or you'll be paying 20% comes down to whether you understand this most powerful force in the universe about compound interest. And you're saying, Jack, I still don't have a clue what you're talking about. I don't either. So I'm going to show you a video that explains it. Ready? Here we go.
We asked people a question. How much money do you have in your pocket right now?
I have $40.
53.
21.
Do you think the money in your pocket could make an impact on something as big as your retirement?
Not a chance.
I don't think so.
Probably not.
It's hard to imagine how something so small can help with something so big. But if you start putting that toward your retirement every week, and let it grow over time, for 20 to 30 years, that retirement challenge might not seem so big after all.
All right, what did you see? That's a. I was going to get them, but I couldn't find dominoes that were different sizes. I was going to have them up here today. And you ask Keith, I ain't going to build it, right? Bill, I ain't going to build it. You see me build. So what I'm saying is, how big was that first domino? How big was the last one? Huge. Huge. Like that. What we want to do is we want to stand all the way over here. And we want to throw it, and we want that one to fall. Because we want immediate. We want it right then, don't we? I could throw this one little domino. I could walk over and I could throw, 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 and it ain't going to fall. What's going to fall is by here, doing this choice, that one, this 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 one, all the way up. And if it kept going, the Empire State Building would fall over. That's what I'm talking about, compound interest. I'm not just talking about financially, that one was. What I'm talking about, but it does work financially. If you're young, start now, right? Right? Which I didn't, all right? But here's what I'm going to tell you. If you do that in your life, day in and day out, it'll build. It'll build. And what you are in 5 years will be a reflection of the choices and stuff that you're making today. Everybody understand? Did that help? Okay. The problem is, and ready for the problem? Ain't nobody got time for that. Why? Because we get discouraged. When the big one's not falling, and these little ones that don't mean anything to us are. We want from the small to the biggest. We say things like, I read the Bible one time, and I wasn't a man of God overnight. Isn't there a pill I can just take? Can I just add some hot water and pour to it? Isn't there something I can buy on Amazon that makes me that much better? We may ask the question, why can't I be a great father? And if you want to be a great father, you got to get your butt off the couch and go sit in the floor and play Legos with them. You don't do it by saying, here, I bought you Legos. You get uncomfortable on the floor and do it. It's the choices that we make. It's the things that we do that make it happen. Okay, so here's the thing. You can't jump from the little Lego to the big Lego without going through the rest. And this is the next 5 years of your life. Now, this is an opening message today. These are going to get a little bit more good. I'm just setting it up, okay? You good with me? You coming back next week, I hope? All right, good. All right. C.S. Lewis once said, good and evil both increase at compound interest. Both lists that I started today will mushroom out of control. And this is why the smallest decisions we make are in every way of infinite importance. So when we take that job that we thought, I'll just try it, it's of infinite importance because it's going to lead us to where we're going to be this time. When we break off that relationship, or we start that relationship, it's of infinite importance because it begins to grow where we're going to be in the next 5 years. If we continue, as I said, on with those dominoes, the Empire State Building would fall. Anybody remember the good old days when it was sunny out and we needed sunscreen? There was a study in Australia about the effects of sunscreen on aging. They took 900 people, and the average age was 39, and they split them into groups. Group one wore a high-powered sunscreen whenever it was sunny, kind of like what we do. Like when it's really hot and sunny, you grab out the SPF 30 or 50, and you put that on. So if you're going to the beach, what do? Lather up, right, you do that. If you go out in the sun, you're cutting grass, you put it on. Put some sunscreen on, and that's what a lot of us do. Group two, so that's one group. Anytime they were out in the sun, they took that and did that, all right? Group two, they were told to wear SPF 15 all the time, no matter what they're doing. Yes, no matter what. So if they went to Alaska and it was 50 below, put SPF 15 on, wear it. If you're not going outside all day, put SPF 15 on it, wear it. If you're going to be in a dark environment for the whole week, every day, all the time, put that SPF 15 all over you. Every morning as part of your routine, get up, shower, brush your teeth, go ahead, get before you get dressed, wipe on that sunscreen, and then go out. Okay, sounds a little weird, right? They did this for 4.5 years, almost 5 years, and studied them, pictures of them before and after. And group one, what they found out is they could not deny, even everybody who looked at it, even the people in group one, went ahead and they said, wow, I didn't have that blemish. Oh my gosh, I look so much older. This was a group that put on the 30, 50 plus, only when it's sunny. Man, wow, I didn't realize I had aged that much. How old they were. Group two, you know what happened to them? Group two had not one visible sign of aging. They, in 5 years, their pictures looked almost identical. It turns out that the power in sunscreen is not just the once or twice application. It is, for your skin, it is a steady application that continues, that when sun or whatever beats down on you, no matter what, it makes your skin better, right? It makes your skin healthier. So listen, if that's true of your skin, it's also true of our souls. It's also true that when your mom said, don't make that face or it'll stick like it, it will. Do you know there's science behind that? You can grow smile lines by smiling. Everybody smile. I can't see behind your mask except for Patty's. Hey, smile. I can tell by the way you're smiling because I see your eyes. You're like, nobody smiles like this. All right? So, smiles. You can also get wrinkle lines. It is smile lines or wrinkle lines. You know, there's more, it takes more muscles to brown. So, the life that you have, here's what I'm going to say. You can make a change in your life in 5 years. And in this series, that's what we're going to do. We're going to really try to embrace who are you in five. And I hope you'll come back. I hope you'll pay attention because I'm sorting through some of this myself. I don't know what you can tell. It's been a tough year. I'm just not in the best place in life right now. I'm just being honest with you. I could stand up here, put on my little clerical collar and say, yeah, and everything wonderful. And it ain't. Because that's where I am. And it's okay to be there. Right? Right? I don't care what it is or not. That's where I am. Not saying I want to be here. I'm saying I'm just trying to figure out, God, what's this all about? Okay? And so it's a good thing. So I'm going to tell you, I need your prayers. I need your love, I need your care, and I need you to ask the same questions about what God wants you, not only this year, but in five. Amen? Amen. All right, so here we go. I just got to tell you one more thing as the praise team's coming up. Is, Jack, why are you doing this kind of series? And I just want to say, I think I just need to get a little more real with me and God. And it's okay. I think it's okay if we're not, right? I think it's okay to just say, God, there's some stuff that happened in this last year that made me the happiest I've ever been in my life. And there's a lot of stuff that just has about crushed me. I'm so tired of that. And I just think that we as a church and as a people, when we're seeing that 30-some% of people who actually profess to be Christians and attended churches aren't here. They ain't nowhere. That tells me something's shifting that ain't so good. And if something's shifting in them and I'm not feeling myself, going to get that what we've always done ain't the way we got to continue to do it. That we as a church, universal, have just been happy with being acting like we're happy. We've been going along saying, doing the same thing. We've been trying to knock down the big domino by just throwing the little one. And we haven't done the things as the body of Christ that we need to do. So that when Christ comes back, he takes his bride and says, "Well done, good and faithful servant." That's my passion. And I've lost a lot of it. And I need it back. There's people in this room that I love immensely. And I'd love to do anything to see God do something in your life. It's more than just the same old little domino or maybe the next one up. I want to see the walls fall down for Christ. Not by me. Because I got to tell you, I'm tired. God's got a call in your life. Grab it. It's not about this, it's about him. So, we're going to sing this song. It's one of my favorites. I say it every week. But it starts with the words, "God, I need you. I need you. I need you." Do you need him today? And we haven't done this in a while because of COVID and everything else. But Joanna, you're there. Ron, you're there. I don't care whoever's here. Debbie, whatever. Just if you want to pray with somebody, darn it, do it. We got to be the body of Christ. Leave your mask on. We can still hear you. Man, we cannot continue in this pattern. We can't do it anymore. Now, I'm not saying the social distancing. I'm saying just our spirits and our disconnect with God. Do you feel it? I feel that we are so far from God as a nation and as a people. I'm crying in the wilderness, "God, please do something. Do something." And we can forget about it today and then wish 5 years from now, we come back and look, why hasn't my... But maybe Jesus will come back this year and we can be pressing on until he makes every domino fall. Let's get up and let's worship him. I'm not chastising anybody. I'm just loving on you today. And I need your love, and God needs our love. Let's just worship him. Worship him like you never have before. Michelle, just lead us into this one so we can rock it up.
I'm longing to see you now. Amen, everybody. I just pray that you'll just come to need him and grow with him. See you next week. We're going to talk more about 5 years. I promise it'll be a little bit lighter, okay? God bless.